This is exactly right.
Hi, I'm Erin Welsh.
And I'm Erin Alman Updike, and we're the hosts of This Podcast Will Kill You on Exactly Right.
We're back with our seventh season, which is bigger and better than ever.
Because guess what? We're now a weekly show.
This season, we're tackling everything from long COVID to norovirus, from the supplement industry to IVF, and so, so much more.
New episodes drop every single Tuesday.
Follow This Podcast Will Kill You wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you leaving? Are you on your way back home? Either way, we want to be there. Doesn't matter how much baggage you claim. Give us a time and date. Terminal and gate. We want to send you off in style. We want to welcome you back home. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine?
Mouth horn.
Do you need a ride? 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 Do you need a ride?
With Karen and Chris. Welcome to Do You Need a Ride? This is Chris Fairbanks.
And this is Karen Kilgariff.
We are going to pick up Whitmer Thomas.
You know Whitmer. Tall, blonde, young, free.
Handsome, agile.
Innocent, worldly, talented.
Thoughtful, southern.
Round glasses.
Sometimes he wears round glasses. That signifies the end of the list, because that's the last thing I would have mentioned.
That's it. And also, he could take those off, and then you'd be like, I don't know who the fuck this guy is.
Yeah. Good thing there was all those other describing words prior to these glasses that are not as important as thoughtful and some of the other things we are saying.
It's not a quality of a person. That's just an accessory.
Right.
I'm not superficial.
It's quantity of people that we're looking for.
We didn't want people with as many qualities quantity-wise as possible.
No, I was saying I want fatties.
How dare you know but me. Clearly, we haven't worked together in a while.
Yeah, Karen, how are you?
Chris, I miss you. I miss us.
Me too.
You know, we have a good thing with this podcast, and it's very hard to do.
It is hard to do.
I wish we might want to consider bringing a car into a studio and recording inside a car in a studio from now on.
Such a pain
in the ass.
I know there's a lot of podcasts out there for people to people have to decide what to listen to, and just know that the other ones that you listen to, maybe before ours, they're easier to record. I'm having a lot of trouble talking. Sometimes I just do.
That's what we love about you.
I'm going to accept that about myself. It is what I hate about myself, though.
Oh, I wish that wasn't true.
I've been watching the show I'm hosting, and so to see, combine my weird Muppet voice that stumbles over the simplest of words. I bit my tongue just now saying simplest. I bit the side of my tongue.
I thought you were saying samplest.
Wouldn't it be funny if I had some allergic reaction where my tongue always has been a little bigger than it's supposed to be?
Maybe. Like you always had a bee sting in your tongue?
Yeah. Well, I talk like I have a mouthful of bees.
You do. It's very Green Mile of you.
I don't know. It's... Oh, I never really watched that movie close enough to figure out why he was vomiting swarms of bees.
Because he was holy? He was maybe a big black Jesus?
That's why I didn't watch the movie.
Yeah, because you hate stuff like that.
I don't shove your agenda down my throat, Tom Hanks.
Yeah, or big tall guy, Michael, whatever, who died.
Oh, he died?
He died.
In real life?
He died of bees.
Oh, what a horrible coincidence.
What a hilarious coincidence.
I hope they weren't movie bees, or by what if he died watching the bee movie?
Ugh, ew, a little bee Jerry Seinfeld in his mouth. Get out of here.
What's the deal with you not breathing after this, Sting? Oh, no.
And then Sting's there singing the last song over the credits. Sting.
Ugh. But yeah, I've been watching Almost Genius, the show I host, and my face is swollen. I have trouble talking. So today, all I'm saying is I'm going to try my hardest to enunciate and speak clearly. And in the beginning here, you heard, and you saw it. If you were looking at me, I stumbled over a couple words.
I can't look at you.
It's please don't. Nobody look at me.
No, don't look at me.
If you ever see me perform live, as I leave the stage and leave the building, please do not make eye contact. That's one of the only things I ask.
And at the top of your set, every time you always scream, "Don't look at me!" at the audience.
Yeah, it makes for it's hard. It's a difficult way to do stand up, but it's the only thing on my rider is that the audience shouldn't look at me.
Yeah, it's like your hook. Mm-hmm. And then people go like that are punk rock. They're like, I totally look at him the whole time.
Yeah, yeah, and it's like the people that talk and throw bread during Neil Hamburger.
Are you thinking of Ducks in a Pond?
I think I'm thinking of Rocky Horror Picture Show or Ducks in a Pond.
But you have been very busy with a full-time fucking TV show that I am friends with AP, April Richardson, mm-hmm. and she tells me the details, and it seems horrifically long hours.
It is. It's just not that often. If it was something where we were doing it every single day rather than a couple times a week, I think I would be exhausted and hunchbacked and wrinkly and grump, quick to anger, gray-haired, living I'd probably live in a nicer place, I guess, actually, the more I think, if I was working more. Anyway, the point is, it is, when we're doing it, very tiresome.
Yeah, it seems like it.
But it's been fun. But I just watch myself and I'm like, get it together, mushmouth.
I know, but I have to say, especially for somebody I know that I do it to myself, I can't stand anything I hear or see of myself for many reasons. I don't think we're really supposed to. I think the people that like themselves and are fans themselves are horrible people. So,
no.
Yeah. I think the truly talented are repulsed by their own image and always are holding themselves to a higher expectation that they can never meet.
There's something that happens on this podcast where someone listening probably thinks I'm being a rude asshole, but oftentimes when I go down to check the levels or I text our guest, and of course my phone isn't working, perhaps my service got turned off.
Oh.
You're saying something important usually during that moment, and I leave you hanging.
Here's the thing, though.
It's just not sending. Oh,
do you want to give
technology.
Me the number? Give me the number and I'll do it.
Okay, it did send.
Okay.
It's just we're in a mountainous, or I don't know where we are.
But we're by a huge old church up
if
there.
If we go up ahead and pull into this beautiful little home that Whitmer lives behind, it's got to be on the National Historic Registry. Registry. Good God, I need just a therapist. See, House on a Hill? Oh. It's gorgeous.
What? Look at that.
Look at this house.
I drive in there?
It
or
should, be...
should we just be down at the bottom?
I don't know. I would say that's him silhouetted.
There he is.
So,
look at him.
Look at his swagger. Look at his style.
Does he not have a coat?
He should have a coat. I wish I knew how to roll down the window. You should be wearing a coat. Oh, we're going to hit the curb. Oh.
There he is.
Whitmer Thomas.
Hi.
Whitmer, hello.
Okay. Hi.
How are you? There's a microphone by your bottom.
And my purse is over there, too. Oh.
So don't be looking through that.
Do you want me to touch the microphone?
Yeah.
Yeah, touch it and slam it up towards your pie.
Whoa, this is a classic.
Is it it's a classic microphone?
Yeah.
Cool it is.
Car.
Thank okay. you. Cool house in front of your house.
I know. I live in a like this back house above the garage, and that house is one of the first houses in LA.
No.
I said, didn't I say, that's got to be on the historic registry, that home.
And
it
you're is. Right.
Yeah, and it was moved. The guy who owns that property that I live on, it was, he moved all of those different houses because he's some cool millionaire guy.
Wow.
Who, I guess, grew up across the street.
Is your mic, how's your mic, is it in your mouth face?
Yeah, my voice doesn't carry very well.
Well, I got it.
Are you not getting
there's him? Always, I'm not getting him very well, but.
What about now?
Oh, pretty much better, yes.
Okay. Am I going the right way?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
We are.
Just tell me.
Sorry, but just, I always.
Eventually, you'll get on the 110 if you just stay on this road.
Okay. And then up the 101?
Yeah, you'll go the 110 to the 101.
Okay.
Are y'all performing on this show?
Oh, I don't do stand-up anymore.
Oops. No, not.
That ain't true.
Who's
oh, really?
No, he's lying.
Wait, you are performing?
I'm not. No, oh. I have been performing though. I did just last night, just a couple shows, so I have tonight off.
Oh, that's nice.
As long as it averages out, I'd say, and maybe correct me if I'm wrong. Well, it's not. It's an opinion, so don't correct me. It's my opinion, Whit. You're always jumping down my throat with this stuff. I'm sorry. I promised you I wouldn't fight our guests. I always, you know me. I'm morning radio style. I get in there and I really start throwing punches.
Yeah, always.
But I'd say if you go up 3 or 4 times a week, you're doing your job.
Oh yeah.
Thank you for agreeing. Although, God knows what would happen had you not.
There could have been a lot of conflict.
Yeah. And, Whit, do you know Karen very well? Have you guys palled around?
Yeah, we palled around. I've drawn a picture of her. We had a running bit at our old Power Violence show where Buddy was madly in love with Karen.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, he is, in real life, actually madly in love with
Karen. Oh, wow.
But we would compete for her.
Yeah.
In a really, sincere way.
Whit wrote me a song.
Yeah.
I just found the lyrics to that song the other day when I was cleaning up my desk.
Really? Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
you, that's cool. You gave her the lyric sheet? That's sweet.
I must have.
Yeah. He sang it, and then I ended up with it. And that picture that Buddy drew of me that looks like it's from a mental hospital. It's so hilariously... Oh, it's just hilarious.
Is when you say new Power Violence show, have you guys left that straitjacket place?
We don't do the shows often now.
Yeah.
And eventually you'll get on the 110, which is like, it kind of sneaks up on you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, all these exits, they are so horrifying.
Yeah. I heard this was the first freeway ever built.
Yes.
There's a lot of firsts, South, LA firsts.
Right, yeah.
What you're going to want to do is we're going to take the first freeway ever and go to the first house ever, and that's where I live.
This is
great. Ooh. Now everyone's going to know where you live. They're going to look up, do the research. Now.
I'm freaked by this freeway.
It's horrifying.
It's ridiculous.
I guess cars only went 20 miles an hour when it was built, so they give you no time to exit. There's an accident on it every day.
Yes.
And
the stop signs, that's the funniest thing to me, is that you get out, I just ran it because my car can't get going fast enough. Like, you come from a dead stop and then try to get onto a...
Karen drives a car from the 20s.
She does.
It is...
It's a Model A.
It's beautiful. It's classic. It's cars on the historic registry. There's no temporary lane. Like, when you enter this freeway, there's no temporary lane. It is diagonally right into what L.A. treats as the Autobahn. People go really fast on this because it's like, hey, there's no rules over here on the windy old 110.
There's not even a shoulder to get pulled over onto.
Mm-mm.
Exactly. So no one gets pulled over because there's no shoulder.
Yeah.
It's lawless.
Great. I like living on the edge like that.
It's kind of fun. It's such a nice neighborhood you live in, too.
It's beautiful.
Oh, yeah. Thanks. I've lived... Probably in every little area of L.A., and so far this is my favorite one.
I noticed you had some Fast and Furious driver types going. Is that a normal thing?
Yeah, that street at night especially, people are just cruising, because they're getting off of the 134,
mm-hmm.
which is up, and they're just still in freeway mode, and the before we get to my house, the street is wider, so people are going as fast as they were.
Oh, okay. So they weren't necessarily... I saw some guys with spoilers, though. I think they were sport driving.
Yeah, maybe they were. I mean, it is Highland Park. So, you know, there's a lot of those street drivers.
So back to the power... Where's the new power
violence? Oh, now it's at the Satellite.
Oh, the Satellite. That place is great.
Yeah, it's okay. It's fun. It's different. It's not as... it's much more, I'd say, curated.
And venue-y.
In venue-y, yes. People have to pay to go. We only have a couple comedians. It's not as... I'd say it's not as friendly as the other place. As in, if the show now has to be a thing that, you know, the Satellite won't get bummed out by.
Right.
If it's not good. So we have to think about it a lot more, and... It's not as fun of a hang for me as it was, but also it's a lot less pressure in the way that I don't get as many, you know, people being mad at me or something.
Right,
every week. I don't know.
Only imagine. Oh, I haven't done your show for a while. That must mean we have beef.
Yeah, that you're mad at me. And usually what it means is, no, you're just another white guy. And that's... We've got enough. That's why I don't get mad when I don't get booked on shows.
There's so many comedians.
Yeah.
There really is.
We cannot like.
What would Chris and I like if Chris wasn't an artist / skateboarder and I wasn't a, just straight up skateboarder?
A skateboarder actor.
Yes.
I saw you in that short film of the... What was it called? The Boyfriend?
My Daughter's Boyfriend.
Oh, my God. It's the best.
Is that where
you're
poolside a lot?
Yeah. I'm a poolside creepy boyfriend, man.
I like that. I like the kitchen scene. I thought you were good in the kitchen scene.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, that was Joe. I would like to take credit for it, but the guy who wrote and directed that, Joey Izzo, is just very talented, and I definitely was his puppet. You know, so
that's good.
Well, that's called directing.
Yeah, he's a very good director.
He's a very good director.
And acting, you have to be a client as an actor to be willing. Yeah.
Did you guys know that when Buddy, I think he's lost some weight, but at one point he was like 300 pounds and I lifted him up on my shoulders.
Oh, I've got a picture of that.
Yeah.
That Chris
squatted him.
I'm very... What people don't know about me, Karen, is I'm very strong, even though my legs are little and one of the hips needs to be replaced.
Yeah.
There's just so much power there, and it really comes to no use until I'm lifting a friend. So he's standing. I crouched. So I'm lifting with my back also. You're not supposed to do that.
No.
And I just put my head right by his balls, and I just stand up. I stood up with him.
I did it. A lot of people took photos. And that was a fun, magical night.
That was a long time ago, and it's probably the last best time I've had.
And then after that, we went to some diner by Andy Wood's house. And Buddy fell asleep while eating pancakes.
Oh,
fell asleep sitting up.
Oh, like Steve in real life, or whatever that Steve Pro movie is.
Yeah, Dan in real life. Yeah, he just fell asleep while eating them, sitting straight up, and then everybody took pictures of that.
Aww.
No.
Yeah, I missed that.
Buddy.
I feel like we were like 14 when that was happening.
It was a long time ago.
Yeah.
It seemed like everyone was young.
Oh, wait.
Well, you stand the right. This sorry.
Way? Sorry, sorry, sorry.
It's okay.
It's okay. It's confusing.
I panicked.
It's okay. We, one night I went into Norm's, and it's going to be hard to describe, but I made a vine. My vines are wildly popular. I think this one got 4 likes. But I walked in, and there was a man, an older man, and his hair was kind of all Bernie Sandersy, and he was just laying literally with his face on his plate. And I was laughing at that. And then I panned over, and some other man who's not even related to him or friends with him was also sleeping on his plate.
Wow.
It was 2 different. So I just did a vine of like where I'm recording that guy. Ha ha, this is funny. And then pan over, and there's just another old guy on his plate. 2 wow. different men sleeping on their plates.
At Norm's?
Just like Andy Cap. Yeah, it was so... I couldn't believe it. when am I ever going to see that again?
That's magical.
Never. That's a magical moment.
It was the best.
I wonder if that's diner where the guy who wrote Dan in Real Life worked.
Probably.
And he got all his inspiration.
Yeah. Oh, man. I remember when I first moved to L.A. and I would fantasize. I would think, like, oh, if I could just get that job delivering pizza. Like, you know, like, that was making it for me, was getting the cool L.A. working actor job. Like,
I'm going to be it?
Move. Yeah, oh, yeah.
What place did you deliver for?
I delivered for Ocean Park Pizza, and then I delivered for Yummy.com. For years.
Nice. Now, did it ever, this thing happen that sometimes happens in 80s movies where a lady, a pretty mom in curlers wearing silky negligee is like, why don't you come in and have a slice with me?
Oh yeah, that would happen. Honestly, yeah, that would happen a lot, actually. not so much delivering pizza, because it's just a different type. But delivering groceries, I would deliver wine and a vodka and salad, fruits, Gatorades, different
stuff.
Sexy stuff. And I delivered a cranberry juice vodka and a pregnancy test.
Oh, wow.
Which was a great
wow. Delivery. I bet that one invited you in.
Yeah. But, no, there was a couple different customers where I would go and I knew that I was going to get into some sort of sexual situation.
Oh,
whether it be like they wanted me to watch them like try on new outfits or
what? Really?
Yeah. And then there was one woman that we, you know, rock and rolled. She was definitely, I'd say, let's see, I was probably 23. And I think she was probably 45. She was just she was like a 90s kind of plastic babe. Like Pamela Anderson style. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And she lived.
And you guys totally rock and rolled?
Yeah, we rock and rolled. Dude, no, so I would deliver to her. She lived in Santa Monica. I would deliver to her, and she would get salad and vodka every night. And, around midnight, and I would deliver to her. Every time I would go there, something would be different. She started just in regular clothes, and then she started in like a swimsuit. Then she was wearing a robe, and then one night her robe was open. And then one night I went there, and she wasn't there. She wasn't in the doorway like she always was. And
come upstairs.
Yeah, no, she was like, come on into the living room and sit on the couch. I'm looking for cash. Uh-huh. And I went in and sat on the couch, and when I sat onto the couch, a vibrator rolled out from the cushion next to me. And
did she set that up?
I don't know. And then she came in and gave me cash, and she was like, oh my god, I'm so embarrassed. Sorry, I've just been very horny.
Oh my god.
And I said, like, I remember thinking, like, okay, it's like, I have to, this has to happen. So I was like, hey, I know how you feel. And then, no joke, she was like, really? And she sat down and stood me up and pulled my pants down and gave me a blowjob.
Whoa!
Yeah. It was crazy.
You're not describing the last dirty movie you rented.
I'm not.
This really happened?
I swear this happened.
It's so funny.
So after that happened, she was like, come back to my place after you get off. I went back to work, and all the other drivers were closing out, you know, and cashing out and stuff. And I was like, hey, have y'all ever been to this person's house? And they were like, yeah, all the time.
Uh-huh.
Man, she's a babe. And I was like, yeah, has anything ever... And they were like, yeah, right, man, we wish. Whoa! And then I sped back to her place and called her, and she didn't respond, and then texted her, and she didn't respond, and I waited there. This was probably at 1 a.m.
Oh, that's funny.
I waited there until 3 a.m.,
oh.
And she called me and told me to come up, and when I went up...
She was having a vodka and salad nap?
No, she was looking through a telescope on her balcony. She lived on the beach in Santa Monica.
Whoa.
And she, like, told me to come out there. I thought she was going to teach me everything I ever needed to know.
Like
about
Mrs. Robert, Mrs. Robinson stuff.
Yeah.
Sure.
But instead, she just brought me out to her balcony and told me about astrological symbols. And
oh.
And
ruined it.
Eventually, she started talking about how she'll never be able to find love.
Oh no.
And that how I'm not like the other drivers.
Oh, the other
drivers.
And
not
then
it.
She said
she had had relations with the other drivers.
Well,
then.
I don't know. Oh, I don't know. See, that's the thing. I remember her going, "You're not like Wayne." Wayne was this other kid who looked like Chris Rock and was always he always wanted to talk about fantasy football.
Oh, that's
but that guy. She was like, "Yeah, you're not like the other drivers." And she was like, "You go to a lot of houses on this street?" And I said, "Yeah." And she goes, "Are a lot of the women like me on the street?" And I said, "I mean, yeah, honestly, there it's just a lot of very, like, fit women." And
that's
funny. She was like, "Do you know why?" And I was like, "No." And she goes, "This is called Call Girl Alley."
What?
And I swear this is real. I've just gotten good at telling this story because people always ask me if I've ever hooked up with anybody while I was doing. I swear this is real. She's
in
like,
the sex worker industry.
Yeah, she goes. This is called Call Girl Alley. Most of the people who live on this street were high profile call girls.
Wow.
And that's how we make our living. Like, I'm not actually a masseuse, and she had like a massage table in her place.
Oh, wow. With a price tag still on it?
3 inches of dust.
That is amazing. That's the most erotic story we've ever heard on Do You Need a Ride?
That was your first girlfriend in L.A.?
Yeah, how long was there talk
did you guys go study?
Of wedding bells ever?
No, but she did eventually. She texted me that she moved out because I quit, and then I stopped seeing her. And she texted me that she moved out of that place and onto a boat. and would invite me to come onto her boat all the time, but I never would.
Yeah, because you'd get seasick.
Yeah,
because she grew a beard.
she grew a beard and got a captain's hat.
I love that story.
Oh, that's
amazing.
Now,
did she still tip you?
Yeah, that was what was weird. After she gave me that blowjob, she gave me $5.
Yes.
Oh, that's great. Did she make some sort of a just the tip joke? Like, because that would have been a perfect time. For her to do that.
No, but what's funny about that is after that, I had a set or something at Tiger Lily.
Uh-huh.
Like, the next day. And I was high off of that experience. I couldn't believe it. And Howard Kramer, who I didn't know, I only knew him in the way that I had seen, any comedian on stage. And,
sure.
And was like, oh, he's like a successful comedian. And that's cool. He's like a headliner.
Yeah,
and
yeah. That's what I thought.
At that time, I was really new, and I was really nervous to meet.
And
anybody.
he is a cool headliner.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. And, but at the time, there's more of a contrast from.
Oh, there was
your actual
definitely
life.
A
yeah,
huge
yeah.
contrast.
Yeah,
and I remember he, I think introduced him, or I introduced myself to him. He asked me. Somehow we got to talk about it, and then he asked me. If I had ever hooked up with anybody I was delivering to.
That's
and
so
I told him, and I remember by the end of the story, there was all of these comedians, like, headlining cool comedians who were gathered around listening to me tell the story, and it was like my introduction to cool comics, and it was a very cool three days of my life.
It's not a story that you would solicit. Though, or I can't, knowing you, I can't imagine you just bringing it up. Someone has to say, oh, delivery. Did you ever,
Yeah.
That's right. Howard Kramer asking.
That's my
Did
friend Rod.
Did you ever go ahead and rock and roll?
Did you have, my friend Rod, we both worked there at that place.
Of course, Rod used to get
he
with
He still
a,
does.
Oh, Rod.
He's still there.
Call
He's
him
like
Rod
the
for nothing.
He's the king of yummy.
Oh, I know Rodney.
Yeah. Yeah, Rodney.
He's my favorite person to talk to at parties.
Yeah. He would work there, too, and he would always make fun of me because of my experiences with just people in general. Not just women, just, like, I would get... One time I got sort of trapped into a closet by an obsessive-compulsive guy who was making me, like, put his San Pellegrino water with all of the... cases facing a certain way, and it was just like he had a Picasso in the closet. It was
a real
so
Picasso?
Weird. Yeah, yeah.
Holy
wow.
shit.
Yeah, he lived. I mean, I would go to the craziest places, and what I found was like delivering in groceries in Santa Monica was where I worked. You would deliver in Santa Monica and Venice, and I found that Venice and Santa Monica are so different. Santa Monica is this weirdo rich people who typically are working in the industry and are often very good tippers.
Uh-huh.
And Venice, not, I'm sure this is not how you are.
No, not.
Venice people were the fucking worst.
Hey!
Not you.
Hey, I'm in Marina Del Rey. I'm a boat.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I have a beard and a boat.
They were the worst, and they were always so rude.
Yeah.
And anytime anybody had any Marilyn Monroe art, they were always going to be mean.
Oh, that's a great constant.
Yeah, they were probably on coke. Yeah, I think those two things go together.
Yeah, or like something Jim Morrison.
Well, I'm not surprised that you didn't end up in weird situations where people needed you in some way, because it's a type of person that needs to have their groceries delivered, like agoraphobic or OCD or whatever, obsessive compulsive. Like, I need to stay home and have someone. And whether they want to face it or not, they're probably lonely, and they're like, a person's here.
Oh, my...
come look at my collection. Look at my boobs. Look at... help get in my closet.
Do something.
This is a Picasso. Hold me.
I remember Rod was showing me the ropes on my first day, and he was like, yeah, so your first day, it's a Monday, so you'll mainly just deliver to businesses. It'll be a good day. Monday morning's a great morning. And I was like, sweet, this is going to be great. My first delivery was to some apartment by the beach, and it was this girl who was wasted from the night before, who made me take my shoes off, then made me sit on the couch and explain to me how fucked up everything is.
Aww.
In the world?
Yeah, just in the world.
Ugh, thank God she didn't bring up astrology.
And then, yeah, and then she sat next to me on the couch, and she said, why are you a delivery boy? And I was like, I don't know, because it's a cool job. And she was like, okay, well, I think you're too cool to be a delivery boy.
What? Who the hell are you?
I don't know, man. It was cool. It was the best time of my life.
After how many minutes did she decide this?
This was like 5 minutes, probably.
Oh, God. How long did you stay? Don't you have other deliveries?
I did, but I was... Dude, you just get stuck. I wish everybody could just shadow a driver for a day. Because you would get stuck doing people's chores. You would get... people would ask you to move things.
At least with Uber or Lyft, they're in your car for a minute, and then you're rid of them. It's like, it can't get any further than that. But when you go in someone's house, depending on how... please, just come into the next room. You're probably like, well, I'm either dying, or I'm going to be bored, or I have to help someone with their... catheter or...
Ooh. What about celebrities? Any celebrities?
Yeah, I delivered to cool celebs. I definitely delivered to some celebrities.
LL Cool J. I'll just say
Sandy
celebrity.
Bullock.
Sandra Bullock.
I wish Sandra Bullock.
Clooney. No,
she would have sat you
Elton
down.
Elton John.
Who did I deliver?
James L. Woods.
Rod delivered to John Cheadle a bunch.
Oh.
He said he was nice.
Yeah, and yeah.
Love Don Cheadle.
He's got it. He seems like he's
delivered
nice.
To the guy from The Mentalist. He was cool.
Simon Baker.
Whoa. Yeah.
He was nice. Everybody was nice. I didn't have any weird celebrity encounters. John Cleese's daughter, Camilla, who's now a comedian.
Yeah, she's a comic. I've met her.
Yeah, she, but back then I don't think she was a comedian. And she would tip like fucking... it would change your life.
Aww.
Really?
That's awesome.
She's very cool. She's a nice person. She's very tall.
She's great. Yeah, she's tall. But
she's
you know
that tall.
Place on Main Street in Santa Monica that's all made out of all metal? It's called like Edge Cliff. It's by where Ben and Jerry's is on Main Street.
Yeah, is it not shaped like a piano? That building?
Oh, is it? Maybe
I think bird's eye view or a plane if you're not a bird who can describe pianos. Shaped like a piano.
There's a theater there.
Uh-huh.
And I guess the woman who owns that theater would employ her assistants to get groceries and ice and water and beer delivered there for the week.
Uh-huh.
So you would just keep your fingers crossed that you would get that delivery. But sometimes they would already have a bunch of the stuff from the last week, but it was just on the assistant's list of things to do. And I think... the owner of the place would give her like, okay, just spend $300 and do it. So sometimes you would go where they would only spend $50 on groceries, and the assistant was so cool that she would tip everybody $250.
Oh man!
So it would, like, I miss that a lot. Like getting a tip that will, that just like, oh my god, this changes everything.
Yeah, yeah. My whole month is different.
Yeah.
I love those little, everyone loves money, am I right?
And money's we're right great. By a yummy.
Hi. Hey, look, well, that brings it all. Look at the, ooh, I bet those grapefruits are going to some seductress. Oh, that guy's so excited.
Cool cars.
No, that guy's not like you and Rod. He seemed pretty by the books.
Well, you don't know. Those are the ones that are the trickiest.
Yeah, well, everybody who worked in Hollywood, too, said the Wayans brothers would give you a crazy good tip. And
really? Because I've heard that Sean didn't tip very well at a restaurant. I have really good stories.
No way.
Yeah.
Maybe he was with Marlon this night.
Marlon, yes. That's who I'm thinking of, young one. Yeah. He didn't tip very well. Well, Sean's nice. I like that guy. I even like his stand-up comedy.
I love that whole family. In my mind, they do no wrong.
Especially you're looking at a movie list.
Yeah. But, and then Kevin Smith. Great tipper. Drew Carey was a really good tipper.
Oh, you went all the way up? Did you go into his house?
Oh, no, I didn't meet these guys. These are just, like, from... I would mainly deliver at night to lonesome women. During the day was the celebs.
I could listen to you talk about that all the time. That's the best.
I don't know. Maybe you need to start a podcast because it's kind of like erotic fan fiction, but it really happens.
I thought about it.
My neck started sweating during that. As soon as the dildo came out of the couch, I was like, oh my lord.
It feels like it definitely something out of a Bret Easton Ellis.
Yeah. Bret Easton Ellis?
Freddy.
That's so great.
I like it. Now, will you tell my second favorite story? Because that just replaced it. But... the other story that you tell that I love, if you're comfortable doing it, is what happened to you when you were little.
Oh, when I was kidnapped?
Yes.
What?
The first time?
You were what? Where? Oh, yeah. Where? What kind of a town? Let's first describe.
Through all these stories, you just have the same smile on your face. It's all a similar experience.
I just think that by the time I was like 11, so many, I had been so put upon. And everything worked out. So, but by the time I was 11, my life was such a joke. You know? Like, how am I around? Because there was another time... Okay, well, there was another time when I was 11 where I almost got kidnapped again in New York City. But when I was 3, I was lived in Birmingham, and I was Birmingham, Alabama. Mm-hmm. I was hanging out in my kitchen, and a man broke into my house... I mean, I'll tell the full story, not
this
the joke.
This is scary.
But a man broke into my house. He, like, pushed my mom down.
I still have anticipation of it getting erotic, though.
So. No, sorry.
He broke into my house, pushed my mom down, and really grabbed me out of the kitchen, and then ran out the back of the house, and he ran up the steps that we lived. Our house was lower than the back street, so he had to run up the steps. And then out into the street, and luckily, my dad was driving down the street.
Oh, you're kidding.
And saw this man, and, you know, my dad, like...
Did he play it cool and go, pardon me, sir, but karate!
And the joke, I say, my dad was like, excuse me, sir, that's my boy. Give him here. But, yeah, so my dad, so I did tell that, and the man gave me back to my dad, and my dad called the cops, and,
wow.
My dad, whenever he heard me tell that, he was like, dude, you don't mention the axe. And I was like, what?
What?
But so what truthfully happened was my dad got out of the car and had an axe in his trunk, and grabbed it and pointed it at the dude's throat until the dude, like, gave me back. And then my dad called the cops, and the cops went to the man's house, and the dude lived in the creepy back house. And my dad describes as something out of True Detective.
That's so your dad...
But wait.
Okay.
Well, inside of the... look at that building. It's a cool building. Inside of the back house, he lived in, like, a hoarder's life, you know? And he had a living room with a old, weird bathtub in the middle of it. And in the bathtub was all this gross, dirty water and stuff. A bunch of my toys and clothes and things.
From previous?
Inside my house.
Oh.
And a bunch of photos that the man had been taking of me since the day I was brought home from the hospital.
Oh, shit. You were his favorite boy.
Yeah, I was his favorite best boy.
Holy shit.
And so, you know, they...
Your life is a joke.
Yeah.
So, how does that happen?
I don't know, man, but he was about two blocks away from my house. So if it would have worked out, I would have been one of those kids who was kidnapped and, stuck two blocks away.
With Stockholm syndrome has a weird haircut and wears a toga.
Yes.
Oh, God, that's so scary.
Yeah.
And did you see that guy around the neighborhood after that, or did he move?
No, he went to jail and then went to a mental institution. He had a history of this same thing before.
Oh, my God.
He lived in his brother's back house, and his brother...
So how did someone in New York also have your toys and pictures of you? Or was that just a random...
That's when I was 10 or 11. I was physically peaking. No joke. Like, if you looked at a photo of me, I was the perfect amount of sad. My dad had just ran off. Like, I was that dreamboat sadness. Like, oh God, I
so kidnappable.
Yeah, I looked great. Anyway, I was sitting in the hotel room. My brother lived half in New York with his dad and half in Alabama, and so we were visiting him. And this, my mom had this hotel. With me and my cousins, and I was 10 or 11, and my mom went out on a date that night, and my cousins all went and had fun with my brother's New York friends. They were about 16, so it was like dream situation. You know, living kids.
Yeah. The movie Kids, yeah. Except no AIDS.
No AIDS, yeah. So they left me at the hotel, and I was watching Critics' Choice, the Dana Carvey special, best special ever. Every time I see Dana Carvey's face, I get fear in my heart because of this. But so I was watching Critics' Choice, and in this hotel, there was a courtyard in the center of it, and there was all of these. You could see into the other hotel rooms, sort of like it was a square hotel with an empty center, and. I was sitting by the window watching Critics' Choice, and the phone rang, and I answered, and it was, this voice went, "Hey, little boy, I can see you in there. I'm watching you.
Oh.
Don't move. I'm gonna come in there and fuck you in the ass." Oh,
no way.
Yeah. God. And I freaked, and I hid under the bed, under the, like, pull-out bed.
Holy shit.
And then it called again, and it goes... "Don't you hide under the fucking bed. I'm going to come in there right now and fuck you in the ass."
This is the scariest. Stop it.
Yes. It was so scary. I started crying. I ran out of the hotel. And I ran to the elevator. And the elevator opened. And this giant man was in the elevator. Like, you know, like a 10-foot tall man. And I screamed and ran back. Ran down all of the steps.
Uh-huh.
And into the lobby. And I went into the lobby bar asking if they had seen... my mom, which was just like, no, kid, what's wrong? And I was clearly, something was wrong with me. And then they were like, "What? No." And I looked, didn't see my mom, and I ran out into the street. And I ran across the street into this other fancy restaurant, and my mom was there.
And you're just a kid in your pajamas right now?
Yeah.
Oy.
Holy shitballs.
And my mom was there, and I ran up to her, like... crying, freaking out.
Screaming, "Someone's going to fuck me in the ass."
Well, she was on a date with this guy.
Oh.
And I was like afraid to... She was like, "What's going on?"
Afraid to ruin the date by giving a horrible mom impression?
I don't want to be a bummer or anything, Mom, but...
this seems like it's going well, but a 10-foot man's going to fuck my butt.
I was freaking out. And I was like, "Mom, what am I supposed to do?" She's like, "Mom, there's somebody..." And she's like, "What is the man saying?" And I was too afraid to say it. Like, I was embarrassed to say, "Fuck you, me in the ass."
Oh.
And my mom was like, "Okay, well, just go to the lobby." And, you know, she was having a difficult time in her life.
Sure.
She's like, "Go to the lobby, and I'll be there soon, or I'll get your brother to come there." And my brother came to the lobby... And my brother's the coolest. And we went up to the hotel, and my cousins were making fun of me all night, and my aunt, about being, like, spoiled and always have to be the center of attention.
Oh,
ruin their good time. And that saying I made it up. And then the next night, my brother took me out, because my brother believed me. He felt bad. And he took me out with all of his friends in New York, and, like, we went and looked at the Brooklyn Banks. It was really cool. This was just his famous skate spot.
Did you skateboard yet?
Yeah, I skated.
Okay.
And that night, the same man called my cousin Jenny, who was alone in the
So this is
hotel.
A guy that's looking out his window or something.
Yeah, somehow has out of his window.
And knows that room number, phone number, which is crazy.
What a horrible person.
Now, and then everyone believed Jenny, of course. Uh-huh. She was a little older.
Yeah.
And I went to F.A.O. Schwartz, and I bought a... action figure. My mom got me an action figure.
Wait.
Well, that's what you get, I guess. Yeah.
Now, do you think the 10-foot man in the elevator was the man?
No.
Right,
no.
That's what
that
I needed.
That was just by chance.
It was just like a perfect situation.
Even as a little kid, you know that's the last guy you want trying to fuck your butt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Giant.
Just huge. Look at his hands! Like, a kid knows that much.
Yeah.
That is
Oh, that's so
horrifying.
Scary.
I love it.
Do you think any steps were taken to try and put that guy in jail and then a mental institution?
Because, I don't know.
Because it probably would have been easy to find him.
Yeah.
But I guess he didn't break the law enough to actually be jailed. He's just prank calling people. He probably wouldn't...
It could have just been kids doing it.
Oh,
I mean,
man.
Who knows? But, well, they were looking into my window.
Yeah, they were.
They described what I was doing. So, who knows? Either way, that was scary.
Yeah, that is... I can't believe those two things happened to you.
Do you have a story where someone doesn't want you?
Yeah, do you have a story...
you're not attractive
Where you got turned down by...
Someone is reaching and then it's like, you know what,
where
no.
you wanted to get kidnapped
not
at some
me.
Point. Where you wanted a...
I wanted it, but it didn't happen.
Closed their robe to you. Said no.
Where a dildo...
I mean, that's happened in a smaller scale.
A dildo flew out of a couch and they were like, that's not mine!
That's private. Don't
get out of here. Maybe you should leave.
No, I think, you know, I was talking to a buddy of mine recently, and she was saying she thinks that the reason this would happen to me and I continue to get in situations that maybe are not good, like encounters with people where they... I get stuck with them in some way. She was saying it's because I don't really drink too much. I don't, like, there's nothing about me that would say I'm troubled right off the bat.
You seem like an innocent person in the face.
And I put off a very, I put off a very, like, innocent and experienced vibe. So, I think that people think that, oh, this will be fine, because he's never seen anything like this, right?
Especially, add the fact that you were indeed a child.
Well, back then, yeah.
Oh, God.
But I think that's why, with delivering groceries, people would always invite me in
right.
a little more than other people.
Whereas if I went door to door, I'd have this angry look and a mustache, and they're like, oh, that guy would just add to my complaints and my problems. But no, I've experienced that too, especially when I was younger. Like, why is it that people take advantage of me or what? It's because if some crazy person stops me on the street, or I'm getting better at it, but and said, hey, pardon me, sir, I'd stop and I'd hear them out, whereas you're not supposed to do that, or I've learned not to. But as a young person, I shared, I think, what you're talking about a little bit.
Yeah.
Innocent face.
I've gotten better at it now. But now, I actually can't talk right
Oops.
Now.
Oh, sorry, it's hair.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
I can't talk right now because I have to go to the bathroom or something. Then someone, Buddy, will go, come up to me, my friend Buddy will go, hey, man, why were you such a dick to Jim? And I go, what are you talking about? And then he'll go, Jim just came up to me and said you were the biggest asshole ever to him.
Weird.
It's like, I just feel like I gave too much at one point, and now if I don't give it all, people
upset. It's contrasting. Yeah, God, that's so funny.
You don't have to give anything.
I feel like you're like that, Karen. I feel like I always see you talking to people for a very long time.
Oh, I give nothing, though.
Really?
Yeah, I'm just good at bullshitting. Oh, okay. But ultimately, I, you know, the curtains are closed inside. And that's my problem. That's really my, that's my burden to bear.
I think usually I'm in a decent mood and I talk to people, but then I turn it off pretty quickly. And I think people think I'm quick to anger. And I think that it's because that's probably true.
You mean...
We're going the wrong way. Oh, who cares? Shoot. Who cares? You know what? It's a horrible design for a parking lot. It's... Everyone has shame in their eyes for us. I'll just give a friendly wave. Sorry about that.
Sir, sorry. It's time, right? It's time for your show?
Yeah, we're here right in time. It's 10.
Nice.
Your comedy concert. We're going to the Improv. We're dropping Wit off at the Improv. He's going to do... You're doing stand-up, right?
Stand-up.
Not one of these characters?
Nah.
Although, you do a very good Matthew McConaughey, but you don't have to do it now. I'm not going
to
make you do it.
The key, I'll just tell everybody, the key to Matthew McConaughey is to say pharmaceutical drugs. It knocks you right in there. Just say the names of his movies and say what he talks about in the movie.
And then go,
Dallas Buyers Club. Aged and Confused. I have no shame with impressions.
That was great.
Yeah, give
the
people what they want.
Yeah, give it to them.
Thank you for being a great guest and telling the best stories we've had so far. Yeah. I can't. I'm horrified and still tantalized.
Thanks.
And thanks for the ride.
Of course.
Absolutely. Do you have anything you want to plug?
Yeah.
Just follow me on Twitter.
Yeah, that's all I really want out of people, too.
Is it Whit Thomas? Whitmer Thomas?
Whitmer. W-H-I-T-M-E-R Thomas.
And if you're ever in Los Angeles, go to the Satellite and watch Power Violence. It's a great show.
Yes, thanks. Hilarious, wonderful. Well, skateboard good feelings.
Yeah, good skateboard vibes. Yeah. People need to realize that that's a good vibe, skateboarding.
It's the best vibe.
Whit and I skateboard. And let's plug this. Let's go skating. Well, I have to get a fake hip first. No, I can still roll around.
Okay, cool.
So let's do that. Karen, do you have anything you want to say?
Here's my conclusionary thing. If you guys go skating, please videotape it.
Okay.
Make a video of some kind.
He's good at that. Witt's always making little videos. Yeah.
I know. He's very good.
I got you in a video
last time.
You did. And I think I was like, oh man, I still have that hunchback. Last time I do that again. I don't like the way, but this time I'll make a video and I'll make sure to make my spine straight.
Yeah, okay, let's do that.
Yeah, we're going to do that.
Yeah, set some goals. That's
some good idea. Realistic goals.
Just think it through.
And I'm going to learn to enunciate, and I'll start by saying you've been listening to Do You Need a Ride? D-Y-N-A-R!
Are you leaving or are you on your way back home? Either way, we want to be there. Doesn't matter how much baggage you claim. Give us a time and date, terminal and gate. We wanna send you off in style. We wanna welcome you back home. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine?
Mouth horn.
With Karen and Chris.